Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, we hope. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You notice something common in both verses? By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying. By faith, Joseph, when he died. I believe these two verses today will tell us how to live and tell us how to die. We need to know both. We need to know how to live, and we know how to die. So, is not this faith in the hour of death? Faith in the hour of death. The Apostle Paul said, facing the guillotine, I have kept the faith. I live by faith, and now I die in faith. I live by faith, and now I die in faith. Peter talked about the end of your faith. He said, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. How did Stephen die? Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What a way to die, seeing Jesus. What do you want to see when you're dying? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have visions of heaven and angels and Jesus, and even see those angels coming to carry you home? Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There are people that have actually looked forward to death. Death has been so glorious that people on the sidelines, on the streets, watching a Christian martyrdom, have stepped forth because the martyrdom was so glorious. They probably weren't even saved, didn't even know the Lord, but they said, here I am, would you kill me too? Would you take my life too? I want to die like that. Can you imagine that? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read some of these stories. And stories like this are included among them. Many dying faithful saints have seen heaven opened for them. And conversely, you have read stories of snakes on graves, and you have read stories of people dying without Christ who have screamed, pull my feet out of the fire, they're burning, burning, hot, burning, oh, save me, save me. Dying. Oh, I want to see angels. Amen. I want to see Jesus. I want to see heaven opened when my time comes to die. Praise the Lord. Death is inevitable, you know. Death is absolutely inevitable. It is appointed unto men once to die, the Bible says. Well, it's not inevitable. Enoch didn't see death. He was, yeah, but you're not Enoch, and I'm not Enoch. It's appointed us to die. Well, Elijah was carried up in a chariot. Well, I don't have a chariot. The angels do, and they could bring one and take us home, but those are two isolated experiences that they had. And there are exceptions to the rule. The rule is, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And when you pass by the judgment into life eternal, that's when you can have those glorious visions of Jesus and of heaven. Hallelujah. And angels. So, death is inevitable. And death terminates and it inaugurates. Death terminates suffering here on earth. Death terminates all of our worldly plans, hopes, and ambitions right here on this earth. It terminates our stockpile of money, gold, and silver, and all of these wonderful things that we have enjoyed here on earth. Yes, death terminates all that. We know this. Jesus said himself, should not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? His sufferings on earth were terminated. It was all over. His persecution was all over. As far as being directed against him personally in the flesh. But death also inaugurated Jesus' glory for him. Praise the Lord. And we need to think that way. We need to think that our suffering is going to end. The persecution against us is going to end. And it'll all be terminated. And then something else will be inaugurated. We'll go to our treasures. Some people leave their kingdom behind when they die. Other people go to their kingdom when they die. Because they have laid up their treasures, not on earth. They haven't built their kingdom on earth. They have laid up treasures in heaven, and when they die, they go to that. Now, wouldn't that be foolish to trade a paltry 70 years, 70 years of glory and excitement and material things, pleasure here on this earth for an eternity of heaven with Jesus forever? Wouldn't that be foolish to forfeit all that just to have a little fun down here for a few years? Oh, how foolish I would be. That's why Jesus said, praise the Lord, should not Christ suffer these things and to enter into his glory? That's why Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, saints of God. We got something. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ. As long as I'm living here, it's going to be Christ. Everywhere I go, it's Christ. From one city to another, from one synagogue to another, from one person to another, it's Christ, Christ, Christ. And if I die, it's gain.
Amen.
My dad has those words of the Apostle Paul etched on his tombstone. Philippians 1:21. Go out to the cemetery, you can see it. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So, when Jacob was dying, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Have you ever gone to visit a real born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, on-fire Christian? You've gone over, he's dying, and you've gone over to comfort him and to encourage him. And you walk in, he's got a big smile on his face, and you go away encouraged. You ever seen that? I have. I've visited people that have actually encouraged those that came to visit them. That's what we have in Jacob here. Jacob is ministering to others. Doesn't really say he's being ministered to here. That's not my point. My point is that he's dying and he's ministering to others. I think we have something like that in Psalm chapter 92. Even when you're old, you'll still be fat and flourishing and bringing forth fruit, even in your old age. Praise God. Praise God. Look at Grover Burns. Look at him. He's here this morning. He was here last Sunday. Sunday before. Year before. All the way back. He's old. Until I get 85, then he's not old. But right now, to me, he's old. He's my father-in-law. He's a faithful old man of God.
Praise the Lord.
Some of you that are, I'm 20 years younger than he is, some of you that are 20 years younger than I am, say I'm old. And then somebody 20 years younger than you says you're old. But really now, with 70 and you live 80, Bible says it takes a strong man to do that. And he's a strong man. He's still in church. When he was my age, he painted every square inch of the parsonage, of the inside of the parsonage upstairs. Every square inch. And he did other work around there. When my wife and I came to pastor this church, he did so much. Faithful man of God. He gave. The church had no money. In fact, the church was in debt. But he gave so that we could have some conveniences and a little more comfort as we began to pastor this church. Here he is in church, 85 years old, still worshiping God, still walking. Don't you love him?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praying and ministering to others. Just like Jesus did. Jesus is dying, hanging on a cross, and he says, woman, behold thy son. And then to the son, or to John, behold thy mother. Amen. And that was the end of it. I mean, here's a thief hanging on a cross, cursing him one minute, and he has a change of heart. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus, bleeding, suffering, full of pain, turns to that thief and ministers to him. He says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, I want to be like that when I'm dying. I want to be able to minister right up to my death. Of course, we all have this hope that Jesus is coming first. Amen. God, give us more faith. Praise the Lord. Give us more faith. Lori Remington sings Hallelujah Square. She sings, I saw my grandma draw her last breath and saw him. Yes, there's just something about a Christian dying, and here we have two saints of God dying. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And you can read that story in the Old Testament. I've decided not to go into it. And worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When Jacob was dying, he worshiped. He was weak in body, but he was strong in faith. And he was leaning upon the top of his staff. That staff that was so important to the shepherd. That staff that he had carried everywhere he went. That staff that was probably the only possession he had a long time ago in his life. That staff that probably had the imprints of his fingers right in the wood. The first time staff appears in the Bible is Genesis 32:10. And Jacob says to God, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Just think of the mercies God's had on us. Think of the truth that God has given to us. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff have I passed over this Jordan. In other words, this is all I had when I crossed over Jordan. But look at me now. I am become two bands. I mean, everything was multiplied and he became wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. And it appears that this staff had been Jacob's companion through many years. I don't know how many animals that staff beat off or how many enemies that staff had beat off. But that staff was as characteristic of Jacob as the rod was of Moses and the mantle was of Elijah. Just an ordinary shepherd's staff, a long, stout stick to beat off the thief or to beat off the wild beast. The staff was inseparable from the shepherd. And I said, this staff fit Jacob's hand, probably like an old shoe fits your foot. You know, you buy a new pair and you get reddened on the side and the corn swells up, the bunion aches. But you put on that old pair of shoes and it feels so good. Jacob had this staff and it felt so good. But I kind of like to relate it to the Holy Bible. That feels so good in my hand. When I have a hold of my Bible and head for my knees and my desk, oh, there's no feeling like it. You can beat off the enemy with that staff, with that word of God. You can beat off the beast and the thief that would rob your truth, the mercies of God away from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That staff was with Jacob day and night. And this and your well-marked Bible is with you day and night. Even thy word be hid in your heart, that you might not sin against God. And now that staff is still with him. And now he's got that staff, and he's about to die, and he leans on that staff. Puts his weight on that staff because he doesn't have the strength anymore in his body and in his legs to hold himself up. And so he uses the staff to steady that aged, weakened body. Amen. And so he musters up all the remaining strength that he has in his body, and he leans on the staff. The Bible says he worshiped. He worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Back to Grover Burns. Maybe he has to lean on the chair in front of him once in a while. Maybe he has to sit down when the rest of us stand. Maybe there are others among us that have to do the same thing. Let me tell you something. They came to the house of God to worship. They mustered up all the strength they had. Get in the car and drive to church, walk in the building, sit in the pew, and lean on the staff, as it were. Lean on the staff, as it were, and worship. Praise the Lord. Oh, saints of God, let's never find an excuse not to worship.
Amen.
He is worthy of our worship when we're sick. He is worthy of our worship when we're dying. He is worthy of our worship on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Jacob worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. Hallelujah. Well, you see, Jacob had a history of worship. Genesis 33:20, and Jacob came to Shechem and pitched his tent before the city, and he erected there an altar. Genesis 35:3, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God. Genesis 35:7, so Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, and he built there an altar. Now men generally die as they live. He was a worshiper throughout his life. What could he do when he's dying but worship? He had the habit. Hallelujah. What a habit to get up in the morning and acknowledge God. What a habit. Go somewhere and say, God, lead me, guide me. Build there an altar unto the Lord. What a habit to develop in life. Praise the Lord. So Jacob came to Luz and he built there an altar. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. You know why? His grandpa did it. His dad did it. Read about Isaac. Read about Abraham and how they built altars everywhere they went. They worshiped. An altar is prayer and worship. My house shall be called the house of worship, the house of prayer, and a house of praise. Amen. So throughout all of his life and on into old age, Jacob offered unceasing, continual worship to God. And now he's old. He's 147 years old, but he still has faith. Oh, don't you want to keep the faith when you're 147 years old, or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90? Keep the faith. Praise the Lord. The Bible says here, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, yeah, he was a dying, but his faith was a living. Amen. Jacob was dying, but his faith was a living. His faith was vibrant. It was throbbing with life and activity. It was alive. I attended International Bible College in San Antonio, Texas. Went down there probably in 1944-45. I graduated in 1949. And I remember, never forget, the registrar there. Her name was Irma. A single woman, a wonderful woman, a godly woman. And of course, I had to deal with her. We got pretty well acquainted. She was much older than myself. And I graduated from school, got married, went here, there, did this, worked here, there, did this, came here. And finally one day, we went down and visited an old friend pastoring a church in San Antonio, and there was Irma. Years later, we went back to the church, and I said, Where's Irma? They said, right there. There's a stretcher laying in the altar area. There's Irma laying there. I said, what's wrong? She's dying with cancer, but she won't miss church. She's dying, but her faith is a living, and she won't miss church. They would carry her in on that cot, service after service. She couldn't speak. She was too weak. She couldn't stand. She couldn't sit. Too weak. That was Irma. That's the kind of faith we need. That's the kind of faith we need to develop right now, so when the time comes, we're ready. I had another friend, great friend, died of cancer. And we all know how that he was stalked by that persistent, relentless, pitiless disease, cancer. We all know how Robert Wiseman became very weary in his flesh. And we all know that he was physically incapable of some of the simplest tasks. I have his recording on tape, his voice recorded on tape. Took it to the hospital in Rochester. His voice was so weak he could hardly speak. But Brian never ever grew so weary, so spiritually weary, that he would miss church. How many of you remember him coming in? He was developing cancer here, and it was embarrassing. It stuck out. Remember? How many remember? But he'd come limping into church, and he'd find his place. He'd sit, praise God, worshiping the Lord, saying amen to my preaching. Well, time went by. Here comes Brian. He's got a cane now. He's always smiling. Praise the Lord, brother. Jesus loves you. Well, he came with that cane for a period of time. Then we had to ask, where's Brian? Here he comes on two crutches, working his way up to his table. Well, pretty soon the crutches weren't enough. He comes in a wheelchair. Some of you strong men carried him in the wheelchair up the stairs in the other building. so he could attend church service. He wheeled that wheelchair the best he could, a smile on his face, and a Jesus loves you on his lips for everybody. Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed. Brian did the same thing. Then finally, he couldn't sit in the chair in the pew anymore. So they took him in on the wheelchair, and he sat, and then we had to get a cot. So we erected a cot up in the southeast corner of the church, and Brian would lay on the cot and worship the Lord. Well, when the cot wasn't enough anymore, he came to church one more time in a casket. He came in a casket. The outward man had perished, but the inward man had been renewed day by day. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed, blessed. Oh, saints of God, let's learn some lessons from Jacob and Joseph this morning. Let's learn how to live, and let's learn how to die. Let's be ready to live, and let's be ready to die. Let's pour everything we have into our Christianity. And then when Jesus comes, he'll take us to our treasures that we have laid up. Praise God. So if I fail to worship him when I'm in the fullness of strength, how will I worship him when old age is stealing on? As I grow older, I may have to lean on the chair in front of me. I may have to steady myself with a cane or struggle with crutches or be seated in a wheelchair. I don't know. I don't know. None of us like to think that. But one thing I do want to think, whatever happens, I want to worship God. I want to follow the example of my friend Brian Wiseman. What an example. I thought he died like a man, a Christian man. I thought my brother died like a man, a Christian man. I still see my brother in our living room just before he died, just days before he died, hands lifted in the air, just bones, flesh gone, just worshiping God. Praise the Lord. Oh, let me live like a Christian and let me die like a child of God. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for this illustration of faith. Faith that's still strong in the face of death. Isn't that when it shows up? Oh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, faith stands the test at the hour of death. This is an old one. 1840. Written by a 15-year-old dying girl. I can't resist reading this. Death's chilling 15-year-old dying girl. Death's chilling arms have clasped me round. The trumpet has blown, I hear the sound. With you no longer can I dwell, so loving parents, fare you well. Short was my stay on earth with you. I vanished like the morning dew. Earth was to me a fleeting spell. So now, dear parents, fare you well. My brothers and my sisters dear, no more on earth shall I appear. Since by the hand of death I fell, I now must bid you all farewell. No more with you surround your fire, no more that heavenly love admire, with which your bosoms oft did swell. No, brothers, sisters, fare you well. My young companions far and near, shed o'er my grave a falling tear, and of your youthful pleasures tell, for I must bid you now farewell. And when you, my grave, pass by, remember that you too must die, that soon will sound your funeral knell, and you, like me, must soon say farewell. So now I leave you all below, and to my Savior I will go, till kindred all his praise shall tell, and we no more shall say farewell. There we shall all in glory shine, there chant with angels songs divine, which of our Father's love shall tell, and to corruption bid farewell. What do you think of a 15-year-old? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul facing the guillotine. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, no. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to all those that love his appearing. to me and to all those that others appearing. And Paul looked at that hole in the ground and said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful, how wonderful. That's Jacob. Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. We'll have to hurry along. Time is running out. Joseph died in absolute faith that God would fulfill all the promises that he made to Abraham and Isaac and to himself. He knew that God would make Israel a nation. He had no question about it. And he knew that God would settle that nation, Israel, in Canaan land. Praise the Lord. He said, I die. He said, I die. And when you read the Old Testament account, Joseph said, I die. But he had full confidence and faith that God's word would be fulfilled. In other words, he was saying, I die, but God's word doesn't die. I die, but God's word lives on. I die, and I won't be part of the rest of this program here on earth, but God's word will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So when Brother Raleen died, the church went on. When Brother Davis left, the church went on. When Brother Griffin left, the church went on. And when I die, the church is going on. Praise the Lord. And when you die, we're going on.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I die, but God's word will never die. Okay, let's learn some things about Joseph here real quickly. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph was very wealthy while in Egypt. I mean, he was wealthy. He was rich in Egypt. You know how he was second under Pharaoh, only under Pharaoh. Praise the Lord. But Joseph, even while he was wealthy, even while everything was in his favor and everything was going his way in Egypt, he continually and always and never faltered, looked beyond Egypt. The Bible says he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. He looked forward beyond Egypt to the fulfillment of God's promises. He looked for that great reunion for all who would die in faith. Praise God. Jesus said, they'll come from the east, the west, north, south, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I believe Joseph and all the prophets and all the saints of God that have gone on before. Sit down with them in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good, isn't it? And I pray for you. I pray for this church and I pray for myself that we'll never get so wealthy, so comfortable, so blessed here on earth in our Egypt here that we forget to look forward. And we cannot see afar off. And we're not looking for that city anymore. And we're not looking for the rest of the fulfillment of God's promises anymore. And we're not looking forward to that great reunion anymore. Oh, how careful we need to be that we don't settle down in our Egypt and fail to look forward to what God has in store for us, which will pale into insignificance the wealth of America or any other nation. Amen. I feel good about it. Praise the Lord. Insurance companies fail. Retirement plans fail. They've talked about Social Security failing. They're talking about Medicare and the problems they're having with it. And a national insurance program. All these things have failed, are failing, can fail, will fail, but God's word will never fail. Live by God's word. Put your trust in Him.
Yeah.
What if things go wrong? Well, then get back on your face. Humble yourself before God and He'll exalt you. What if things go wrong because you didn't put your trust in those things, but you put your trust in God's word? Get on your face again and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. I would much rather have my faith in God and seek first His kingdom than put my faith and confidence in an insurance policy, or in a stock market, or in a bank, or in a retirement program. I would much rather put my faith, trust, and confidence in God and His eternal word. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die. You can die with gold and riches. You can die with your confidence in all these things that I have just mentioned. Or you can die with your confidence in the word of God and die in faith and go to your kingdom. Praise the Lord. Joseph had great honor. Joseph had power in Egypt. But all the time he was there, he remained a Hebrew.
And all the time we're here in this life, no matter how wealthy or how good a job we have or how well things are going for us, oh, let us always remain Hebrews, or let us remain Christians like Joseph remained a Hebrew. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. He kept the faith of his fathers. See, we have people in the Pentecostal movement. We have people in the church today who have become VIPs in the world. They've become very important persons in the world. And all I can say to you or to them or whoever it is, oh, please remain a Christian. Please keep the faith. Because we too must buy the truth and sell it not. And we too must pass the torch of truth to the following generation. And they need to pass the torch of truth to the generation that follows them. We've got to keep this going just like Joseph did. Praise the Lord. Genesis 50 verse 25. He said, God will surely visit you. I'm a dying. My faith's a living. I've got faith in God's promises that he will keep his word and fulfill his promises. God will surely visit you. And he said, don't leave my bones here in Egypt. Take my bones with you when you go. And someone commented, surely this was the longest funeral procession in history. 40 years. 40 years they carried those bones with them through the wilderness. 40 years. I've never seen a funeral procession that long. Amen. But those bones that he commanded them, the Bible says here, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Those bones that they took with him would be a constant reminder to them that they're not Egyptians. They would be a constant reminder to them to keep the faith. They would be a constant reminder to them that there's a Canaan land waiting. That these bones would always be preaching to them, Egypt is not your home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the saints go marching in, when the redeemed are gathering in, praise God, praise God. And so I say in closing this morning, these two verses teach us how to live, and they teach us how to die. Can we